You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Talking Reds baseball today on this Thursday, August 11th, and Mark Sheldon is back. The vacation went well, Mark, I presume?
It was a staycation. I generally stayed in Cincinnati with the exception of a couple of day trips, and it was just nice to decompress after the trade deadline. I had a long overnight red-eye flight back and about 35 hours of being up straight until Jay Bruce got traded and beyond. So I enjoyed my time off.
I bet. Decompress is certainly the right word, and as nice as vacations are, those can be taxing as well. So staycations are sometimes what the body and the mind needs to get refreshed, and you certainly sound like you are that, and then some. So let's talk about all things Reds right now. And, Mark, unfortunately, I got to start on a down note because the game on Monday night, it looked like it was going to be the first career win for Cody Reed in his ninth attempt at it. The poor kid sees a 4-0 lead slip away in the bottom of the ninth in St. Louis. The Cardinals, a stunning 5-run rally to turn a 4-0 deficit into a 5-4 win. And now Cody Reed, 6 scoreless innings, all for naught. He is still winless in his big league career in 9 starts. But, Mark, I want to start off on the bullpen that night, which has been much improved, especially in the last, month or two, with guys like, Cingrani picking things up, and Raisel Iglesias has been just silly good since he came back, and he's been put into the bullpen. But that night, it was Cingrani and Ross Ohlendorf who got beat up. Ohlendorf eventually gives up the walk-off hit by pitch, of all things, to Yadier Molina. But Iglesias did not pitch in that ninth, and I kind of wondered why at the time. He had thrown over 30 pitches the day before, kind of a not-so-sharp outing for him. Believed he walked 3, gave up a run in 1 inning of work. Was he completely unavailable that night? Was he a guy that Brian Price wanted to stay away from no matter what?
Yeah, generally, when Iglesias pitches a lot in a game, whether it's 1 inning or with a lot of pitches, like 30-plus pitches, or he has a 2-inning appearance or even a 3-inning appearance, the likelihood is almost 100% that he will not pitch the next day. They're still using special protocol with him that they don't use with other relievers just because he came back from 2 shoulder injuries in the last calendar year, including one this season that put him on the DL for 6 weeks. And they're still treating him with special circumstances, and that makes him different than what would be, he'd be the ideal closer for this team if he could work 3 days in a row or even 2 days in a row. And right now he's not in that position. He's been so stellar. He's got like a 0.59 ERA since June 21st when he came back. And all signs are pointing that he could be their future closer. But right now he can't take on closer duties because he doesn't have closer endurance, and the gloves are not completely off for him. So they'll work through it. And eventually I would say him and Michael Lorenzen will be a potent late inning combination more regularly when they feel like Iglesias is ready to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine it was tough for Brian Price on Monday night to see this thing slipping away and to see Cody Reed, who had all these hopes of getting that first big league win, he's on the bench and he can't do anything to get this thing from spiraling out of control. You got to think that he was very tempted to use Iglesias in that spot. But again, you look at the big term, the long-term picture, and he stays away from Iglesias, and the ball game ends not the way the Reds wanted it to, obviously, as the Cardinals win it 5-4. But you brought up, not just Iglesias, but Michael Lorenzen as well. I think that, the Reds knew what they had in Iglesias. The guy just has an electric arm, all the potential in the world. I know that, Michael Lorenzen also very highly touted, maybe not to the level of an Iglesias, but have they been even a little pleasantly surprised at just how good he's performed?
I wouldn't say pleasantly surprised. I think it's just a different role. He was a college closer, and they took him with the 1A pick in the draft, I think, a couple of years ago, and they identified him as a starter, and they went to that, developed him as a starter, and he had some promising starts. He had some struggles as well, but then he came back up from the struggles at the end of last season, and he worked out of the bullpen, and he showed some gas that he could throw 98 and be effective, and had definitely had his edge back. And then, of course, they wanted to make him a starter again going into 2016, and then trouble happened. He got to one game, he got an elbow inflammation, then he had to sit out for a while, then he got mono and lost 25-plus pounds, and lost any hope of maybe starting the season. If they had started, he may not even be back yet. So they would have had to get him and build him back up again. So they kind of took a shortcut and realized that in order to get anything out of him this season to be effective, that would be have to be out of the bullpen, and they could reevaluate after the season. And he's just been very good out of the bullpen in general. He's got power stuff, and it's moving pretty well for the most part. He's, you know, he just seems like he's just on point. And in terms of the bullpen, between him and Iglesias, it's been uplifting for them. I mean, Singrani's been better other than the other day, and Blake Wood's been much better. He's been pretty solid overall, but having those two guys really added stability that wasn't there in the first half.
You know, yeah, maybe another Aroldis Chapman will never come around. Those guys are, you know, they're maybe once-in-a-generation type pitchers. But moving forward, if you can have a 1-2 back-end combo of Lorenzen and Iglesias, that's got to be very exciting for the Reds and for their fan base too. Mark, I want to circle back around to Cody Reed. I know you haven't spoken to him recently, but knowing him as you do, and knowing him and knowing the struggles he's gone through, and you know, he's received a lot of encouragement, as we've talked about in previous weeks, from you know, the management, from his veteran teammates. How tough do you think it was for him to know that he was so close to getting big league win number one? And I know that, you know, in this day and age, wins aren't everything. It's an overrated stat. Nonetheless, when you're a young kid and you still got that goose egg in the win column, I would think that's got to be hard. How do you think he's handling going, you know, 0-9, at least in terms of getting that first big league win?
Well, I can tell you that before when I last saw him and he struggled, you know, each interview post game was getting shorter and shorter because he's getting more and more frustrated. At first, it was kind of just talking it up. He's happy to be there. He got the nerves, and you know, but overall, you know, it's a learning experience. And after three or four of those, it stopped being a learning experience, and it just was just frustration. And you could tell that he was not enjoying the outcomes at all. He did have that one decent start where he deserved better, but he started out rough and kind of slowed his pace down, and then was really encouraged by his last three or four innings. And that showed he was pretty happy about that. I would imagine he wants the major league win, of course. I mean, even though the win stat's been discounted, pitchers still chase wins. So I'm sure he wants it, but I have to think that just going out and throwing six scoreless innings had to be very uplifting and very encouraging for him, because he's been getting his butt kicked up and down the league and being hit hard. He's just not losing games. He's getting clobbered. And I think that was obviously frustrating because he hasn't gone through that at all, probably in his entire life. So I think just getting out there and being not just competitive but strong was probably very, very good for him. And the win will come if he keeps pitching like that. It's going to happen. It's not going to always, you know, be lost by the bullpen. One of these days, he's going to put it together, and the offense and the bullpen are going to pick him up, and he's going to get that major league win and savor that and keep the ball and all that good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that day is coming. There's no question about that. And to not only have six scoreless, but six scoreless against the Cardinals offense, which has been pretty much wire to wire the best in the National League this year, another point of encouragement for him. So, Cody Reed, your day is coming, but again, you can't blame the guy. You know, like you said, the short post-game interviews, he's getting frustrated. He's a competitor. He wants to win. And like you said, that day is certainly coming. Mark, heading down the home stretch here, Homer Bailey's going to make his third start since Tommy John surgery tomorrow in Milwaukee. The first start, very good. The second start, not so much. In your discussions with him, what has been the biggest challenge for him, either mentally or physically, on this road back from TJ surgery?
Well, before the actual season debut in San Diego, the biggest thing was just not only throwing 95 and 96 like he has, but feeling like there is something behind the ball and like has a little, you know, sharpness that he, you know, sometimes in the rehab starts, he said that was lacking, even though the numbers said he was doing well and the radar was saying he was on point. That certain crispness to his pitches he felt was missing. And I think when he got to San Diego, he was encouraged by the fact that seemed to be there for the most part. You know, he had, a rocky-ish first inning, and then things really got together in innings two through four. And then in the sixth inning, I think he got to the sixth, two through five, and he got to the sixth inning, he hit some struggles, and he lost his concentration, and then he turned his back on the runner at third, and Will Myers came scampering home, and it was kind of a glitch there. But overall, he was very happy with how he did. The Reds were happy with what he did. And talking to Tucker Barnhart, he said it was just like he hadn't been missing and that everything was right there. So they were happy with that. I didn't see his last outing, but obviously with Tommy John surgery and coming back after a long layoff, it's not going to always be perfect. And I'm sure he's got that, for him, it's like April. As everyone else, it's now August. But him, it's still early April. And these starts are going to be up and down. They're not going to be perfect. He's going to be still watched closely. They're eventually maybe we'll let him off the governor a little bit, but they're going to probably keep him around 90 to 95 pitches and six innings for a little while until they feel like he's gotten through that, and then he can take off like everyone else.
Yeah, I think fans tend to overlook sometimes that, we see a guy, okay, he had the surgery, he's back pitching on a big league mound, everything is fine. Well, everything's not fine because that's just, there's another whole leg of that recovery is to get your body back into, game shape, as they say.
Absolutely.
And that, right. And that's a long process, and it's, every pitcher goes through it. Homer Bailey's going through it right now, so best to exercise some patience and understanding of the situation that Homer Bailey is in. Mark, to wrap up here, just want to talk a little bit about Jay Bruce. Obviously now a former Red, a current Met, really struggling right now. The entire Mets offense is struggling.
Yeah.
Bruce has not been the spark plug that they were hoping he would be, at least not yet. And, from your own perspective, we cover baseball for a living, but, we're also still fans. And obviously, having been around Jay Bruce as you have been for so many years, I would have to think that, again, you're an objective journalist, but you're also a fan of the guy because he's been there for so long. He's a good guy, put up some big numbers. Is it hard for you to see him kind of go through this right now with the Mets?
Well, I could say this. I am objective, and I'm not necessarily a fan of any players, but for what Jay Bruce was, I was a fan of his professionalism. And he demonstrated it every single day, whether he was going well or whether he was terrible the previous two seasons. Jay Bruce was always at his locker, always ready to talk, ready to be accountable for what he did do or what he didn't do. And as a reporter, I always appreciated that. I also appreciated the fact that even when I wasn't, rolling the recorder and interviewing him, I could have conversations about baseball with him or about anything, really. And I always came away impressed with what his knowledge was of that topic. We could talk about baseball, and he knew not just about Major League Baseball, but he could talk about college baseball. He could talk about minor league baseball. He had a real sense of the game and understanding it and just about the environment. So I appreciated that. And yeah, going through the struggles, I'm sure for him in some way, it's been the tension of being possibly traded all season has been weighing on him since really a year ago. It's been going, but he really had a nice season going. I'm sure at some point just getting it over with and being traded and changing scenery was, in a sense, a chance for him to exhale a little bit. And maybe in exhaling, it suffered and it was his production a little. I would not imagine it would be very long. He's always been a little streaky. He went through a nice long trend trending upward. It was inevitable at some point he was going to hit the skids for a little while, and I wouldn't be surprised if at some point he picks it up again. Obviously, the Mets really, really need a lift right now. They've been struggling. They got roughed up again today. They need some help, and I would imagine they would expect him to be a central part of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think adding to that pressure for him is what happened 1 year ago with the Mets. Yoenis Cespedes, became Babe Ruth for a couple months and, lifted them to the division, to a pennant, all the way to the World Series. Mets hoping that Lightning would strike twice so far. Not the case, but Jay Bruce has the track record. He should be okay, but right now a bit of a struggle for him, no question. Mark, a good place to wrap this one up. That is Mark Sheldon, our Reds reporter. We'll do it again at this time next week. In the meantime, Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras, Cincinnati Reds.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.